From Your Minister by Meg Riley, Senior Minister, Church of the Larger Fellowship.
As a kid, I loved the idea of the Indians and the Pilgrims having a happy feast together. In my liberal family and small congregation, the generosity of the Indian people and the fact that the starving Pilgrims wouldn't have survived without them was a beautiful story of generosity, with the Indians squarely in the role of heroes. Go Squanto! I always imagined the Indians during that first Thanksgiving as secure and happy, with plenty to share, as if the genocide, which would later pretty much destroy their cultures, hadn't yet begun and the honeymoon was still on. But here's something I didn't know as a kid. In 1452, through a papal decree, Pope Nicholas V declared war against all non-Christians throughout the world, and specifically sanctioned and promoted the conquest, colonization, and exploitation of non-Christian nations and their territories. Pope Nicholas directed King Alfonso of Portugal to, quote, capture, vanquish, and subdue the pagans and other enemies of Christ, to put them into perpetual slavery, and to take all their possessions and property. So when Columbus sailed west in 1492, he was authorized to, quote, take possession of any lands he, quote, discovered that were not under the dominion of any Christian rulers. There was no honeymoon for those he discovered. I always thought that language about Columbus discovering America was just hideously inaccurate. I didn't know that the word discovery was shorthand for saying that Columbus was a general in the religious war on non-Christian people in North America, though I certainly knew that this is what it meant historically. Now, the Pilgrims weren't Catholic, and well over 150 years had passed between the decree of Pope Nicholas V and the famous landing at Plymouth Rock. The Pope's doctrine of Christian discovery wouldn't matter to me any more than any other papal edict, except that it is also the law of the United States. In 1823, the U.S. Supreme Court used it as justification to strip indigenous people of land and water rights, and it's still the basis used by courts today in order to take away native people's mineral and water rights and to violate existing treaties. It's usually shortened to the doctrine of discovery, but it's all about manifest destiny and the Christians' rights to dominate the rest of the world. I don't know about you, but I'm outraged that blatant religious discrimination is still legally used to oppress indigenous people in this country, which celebrates religious freedom. Unitarian Universalists in the United States and around the world have now and have always had religious freedom as one of our most central tenets. So I feel specifically called as a Unitarian Universalist to demand that the U.S. government quit using a papal edict as a valid source of legal decisions. We are not a Christian nation. I'll be working with other Unitarian Universalists to inform more people about this, imagining how we might most meaningfully let our voices be heard. You can learn more about UU activism toward this end by going to the website and Googling Unitarian Universalist Doctrine of Discovery. If you're not from the U.S., you can still get involved. This doctrine has been challenged in the 2007 United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. In this season of pilgrim hats and Indian headdresses, I just had to say that. You might wonder, how do I manage the Thanksgiving season when my heart is filled with outrage and grief, as well as gratitude for all of the bounty which life has heaped upon me? Same as I manage the rest of the year, imperfectly and awkwardly. As E.B. White says, it makes it hard to plan the day when you're torn between the desire to savor the world and the desire to save it. My own savoring is greatly enhanced when I feel that I'm standing on solid ground with other people who share my values, rather than constantly fighting for balance in the quicksand that comes from half-truths and denial. That's why I've cast my lot with our quirky bunch. We may not always be the most fun at a party, and this column may not be what you want to read when you're in need of pastoral support, but we do know that our faith means nothing if we don't live it out. I'll be saying much more about gratitude during this month of November in our new online sanctuary, as will many other bloggers, worship leaders, and CLF members. If you have something to share on the topic, please feel free to go online and do so. For instance, here's a poem by our member Nancy Andrews of Golden, Colorado. In gratitude, not for granted. How simple this step, each step, my foot on the ground, placed fully down, feeling the earth's distribution, ratio of weight, my identity, this ancient relationship. No echo, no drama, no fanfare. Such privilege, supremely quiet. As for me, I'm reading a fascinating book on the topic, Margaret Visser's The Gift of Thanks, The Roots and Rituals of Gratitude. She speaks about how thanks are expressed or not in many different times and places, and it is fascinating indeed. As always, I remain steadfastly grateful to be in this community with you.